Greetings and salutations.
Dave, how are you, man?
Yeah, moderately neato on yourself.
Good, man. Good. Welcome to episode number 15 of the East Coast InfoSec podcast. I'm Daryl McLeod.
And I'm Grant Boudreau. And a quick disclaimer that the thoughts and opinions are our own and do not represent our employers.
Our guest this week is Dave Lewis. He's one of the hosts of the Liquid Matrix podcast, international keynote speaker, executive curmudgeon, board member, gentleman spy, and raconteur. And so we decided to start things off by getting Dave to tell us a little bit more about himself.
Well, I'm a grumpy old man, and I have been doing security now for about a better part of 25 years, give or take. If I roll it right back, it's even further than that. Back in 83, I was duping video games and selling them to kids in school, so I had an early start of a nefarious bent, to say the least.
Wow. Yes, you did. Jeez. And also, too, you have a, since we're kind of on, you know, the East Coast, we're kind of focusing on that, you do have roots here, correct, in Nova Scotia?
Oh, yes, I may be from away, but I do have lots of roots down there.
Yeah.
A lot of my relatives, the ones that are still with us, are still in the Halifax area. Used to actually have a cottage down by Lunenburg.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, oh, went nice. Down there every summer for about 12 years or so. Then I discovered, you know, oh, look, women. I'm 16 now. Bye-bye. It's funny how that age will do that to, you know, completely change your perspective on the world.
Yeah.
You know, beautiful cottage, nice island, you know, wonderful sailing. Nope, want to stay home in Ontario. I kind of goofed there, but oh well.
Oh well, you came back eventually.
Oh yes. And hopefully we'll come back again one day soon.
Mm-hmm. We all hope. Yeah, we know. Yeah. So, actually, how are you handling the whole staying home,
lockdown,
world lockdown, weird world we're living in?
Well, you know, I'm actually pretty fortunate in that regard, because for the better part of 15 years, I've been home office. Mm-hmm. So for me, this is pretty much old hat. And my wife has been home based now for quite a few years, but, you know, about 5 years or so. Mm-hmm. She just came home from work one day and she goes, "I'm done. Get a better job." And I'm like, "Okay." And so, you know, the only variable here is the kids are home, and, you know, doing the homeschooling has been an interesting endeavor, to say the very least, but, you know, it's good. We make fun. We have fun with it. We do movie night every night, which used to be only on Fridays, but now, you know, these kids are going to have more of a cinematic grounding than I ever did.
Mm-hmm. I bet. Wow. Yeah. So it's really strange. Same thing. My wife is now working from home. She's never worked from home before, but now she isn't, probably till at least the fall. But she has started doing it, and then she said, "I love this."
Well, and that's really the amazing thing is, you know, with this suddenly overnight international workforce that is now working remotely, it's really amazing to see how some people have taken to it in, you know, with reckless abandon, and other people have been, yeah, I got to get out of here. I need to be in an office. And the thing is, we have to be cognizant of the fact that everybody's situation is different, and what works for some will not work for others. So I think this has been a masterclass in getting organizations to have remote workforces, because there's been so many times I've seen companies, they'll say, you know, no, we can't do that. We can't, we have to have butts and seats. Now in hindsight, they're going to go, okay, wait a minute, this actually works. And I am very hopeful for that, for the people that want to have that ability, like we've seen with, for example, with Twitter a few days ago. They just extended their work from home policy indefinitely for those staff that want to do it. And I think that's a good thing. I'm a huge fan of working from home, but the thing is, if I was starting out in the industry and I was brand new at this, mm-hmm. I would absolutely want to be in an office environment to learn from my peers and interact with them. But now that I'm at old and grumpy status, I now can just say, you know, the answer is no, I'm going home. Take my football and leave.
Yeah. I find that was the biggest adjustment from working from home, was that talking to people, like, especially like working, like going from like building to building, taking care of 26 buildings, you're constantly talking to someone, right? Hey, how you doing? Da, da, da. And it's like, now I'm home by myself in the basement, and now with you know, the whole COVID stuff, I have my 1.5 and 4-year old to talk to. So my conversations are very much, oh, Paw Patrol. Okay. Yeah. What did Ryder do today? And yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Super Y. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Well, spelling.
Got it. It's a great, those are great ages though.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And my daughter is now Y. She's saying Y to everything. So I'm trying to give her valuable feedback, you know, to answer her questions, not just kind of shrug her off.
Well, so. You do have a few years yet. My daughter's 11 now, and I'm getting the atomic eye roll every time I say something. So, mm-hmm. Like, Dad.
Wait till she's 13. I have a 13-year-old. Of course, I barely see her. So,
yeah, so we're starting to get to that point now where she's trying to test the boundaries there. But the interesting thing is she's very interested in computer security related stuff. So she keeps coming to ask me questions because apparently I have not lost all value yet.
you'll get there soon. You'll get there eventually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But yes, we could go on about living all cooped up with our kids, either young or teenagers like I have.
But, oh well. So, you know, easy for your daughter to say that she's kind of getting into InfoSec because of you, but how did you get into InfoSec?
You know what? It was an accident. It was a rather interesting accident. And when I say that, I was in the process of finishing my university degree, and I got a part-time job working for the University of Western Ontario, which they've renamed it, and I refuse to acknowledge the new name. to me, it will always be the University of Western Ontario. But, you know, I got a job there, and day one, they handed me a manual and a computer and said, here, you're going to write the web page for our team, the particular department of the university. And I went, I have never written a lick of code in my life. And they said, that's okay. It's HTML. It's not actually code. Like, All right, point taken. And I had my first web page up and running and operational a few days later, and I just got hooked. And I was in the process of looking at going to law school, and then I realized roughly about 5 minutes into sitting for my LSAT that I wanted nothing to do with it, but they wouldn't let me leave the room. So I became that most annoying person in a test scenario where I just put my head down at my desk and I fell asleep. And apparently I was sawing logs so bad that they finally said, you know what, you can go. That was the end of that. And then I went home and there was a newspaper ad for a professional college called ITI at the time, which is long since gone now. But they had a team-based approach for doing computer science. And I was part of, signed up for this, and 9 months later, I graduated, got my first job doing this. And the funny thing was, is the whole time, I had built up a habit of breaking into networks hither and yon, including the school network. I knew all the professors, well, teachers, instructors, whatever you wanted to call them. I knew all their salary structures. I knew everybody's grade in the school. Mm-hmm. I had the ability to change grades, but I never did because I knew that would come back to haunt me. So there was a bar that I would not go beyond. But yeah, no, it was literally how I got started. It was literally by happenstance. And it was all because somebody handed me a book on HTML back in the early 90s.
Huh. Wow.
And if I'm being honest, to go back to 83, and yeah, that's when I really got the love for it. But there was a long hiatus there where I was, you know, into sports and playing in a band. So that sort of distracted me for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, I was never, you know, this is kind of like a second career for me anyway. But I was always into the computers and tech like that stuff. So it was sheer luck and I get into it too, kind of thing. It was kind of like, oh, here you go, you know, especially like my first firewall. Oh, here you go. Here. Oh, yeah, this is our firewall. It's like a Slackware box, IP tables with firewall.
Nice.
Oh, that was trial by fire right there.
This is definitely a second career for me as well. I mean, yeah. I started out in the music industry. I worked for MCA Records for a few years.
Yeah.
And I realized very quickly that nobody grows old in that business.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Same here. Yep. Oh, I know. That's me too. I was, as you know, I was a recording engineer for years, So kind of the same thing.
Yep.
Yeah. So so another thing you do quite a bit is speak at events all over the world. Actually, I'm going to ask. Yeah, I was just going to ask, do you miss that?
I actually do miss the road. I'll be honest. Mm-hmm. I'd be lying if I said anything other than that. I really do miss it.
Yeah, we were traveling constantly. Oh, yeah. So
well, last year I did 370,000 kilometers.
Oh, wow!
Wow! Yeah.
And that was just on the planes.
Yeah.
Jeez. But there's something to be said of being able to meet these groups of people all over the world and see the shared issues that they have, the shared conversations, and also getting the variables for, you know, different cultures and different ways of thinking that would be specific to different regions in the world that you might not take into account in North America. So it was really an adventure in that regard of being able to, you know, see the world. And it really did widen my perspective on quite a lot of things. And I think it was really good in that regard. So, yeah, I really miss it a lot. But now I'm doing a lot of virtual speaking engagements, which isn't bad, but...
It's not the same.
You know, it's not the same.
Yeah.
You know, it's good doing these CISO roundtables. I'm doing a lot of those for my day job.
Yeah.
And those are fun. They're intimate. You know, it's about 10 people. But I really do miss it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you even start speaking internationally? You know what I mean? Like, I find, you know, as you know, like, spoke at, like, AdelsitCon and whatnot. And, like, to me, that's big. And you're, like, flying everywhere. It's like, how does that even start? How do you even start going?
I know how he got his start because, you know, you and I, Grant, we gave him his first keynote at B-Sides Cape Breton. Hey, look, here's a keynote at B-Sides Cape Breton. We got to hug you.
That was my first keynote. That is true. But prior to that, it was actually, was it B-Sides Quebec City?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Hackfest. They were the first ones that reached out to me, and then I ended up missing my plane.
Yeah.
But they really got me thinking. I was like, wait a minute, maybe I actually can do this because I live in mortal fear of speaking in front of an audience. That doesn't go away, but I've learned how to manage it. Mm-hmm. And over time, I just lather, rinse, repeat. Every time I would give a talk, I would try to always do it in such a way that I made sure that at least one person in the room left with something they could use. It was never about, hey, look at me, and here's all the wonderful things I've done. It was about, you know, these are the mistakes I've made, and hopefully you can see value in this, in that you will learn not to make the same mistakes. Inevitably, everybody's going to make mistakes, but if I can help shorten that distance for them, I consider that a win. And then it just, you know, more opportunities would present themselves, and then I went on a CFP bombing run for a couple of years, and then 8 years later, and here I am.
Wow, nice. Yeah, so does, like, you know, do, like, you know, does Air Canada, like, call you? Hi, Dave. How you doing? We miss you.
We miss you. I do get emails from a particular hotel chain that I would frequent. They do send me emails saying, "We miss you. We'll see each other again soon." Which is both odd and amusing at the same time. Mm-hmm. I think the first time that really hit me was I had an email from a hotel in Thailand who emailed me to wish me happy birthday before any of my friends did. I'm like, wow. This is just weird.
Yeah, wow. So do you have any upcoming events that you're taking part in?
Yeah, this Friday, actually, we're doing an event, a virtual event in EMEA, where I'm giving a talk through Duo Security.
Okay.
And we'll be talking about Zero Trust and all those wonderful things, and then a whole mess of CISO roundtables. It's really funny because we're doing them by region, but the internet really is not really broken up by region, but we still think that way.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Are you still doing any other, like, conferences or merely just the roundtables, things like that?
You know what? I've been predominantly doing the roundtables because, namely, that's what our field marketing people have been coming after me for. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing a couple of graduate courses as well, so I haven't really had the time to make the transition to doing virtual conferences for the mainstay ones.
Yeah.
Like TLSetCon and things like that. I just haven't been able to make that transition yet.
Yeah.
So yeah, doing a graduate program while you're full time employed with two kids. Yeah.
Yeah. No, man. Wow.
Not a stroke of genius on my part.
Yeah. I couldn't even imagine doing a certification with the kids my age right now. I try to, but it falls apart so quickly.
James Arlen said it best to me before my first child was born. He said, "Do whatever you need to do now because you aren't going to get another chance."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's a good point.
And then she was born, and then poof, it all went away.
So how are you keeping your skills current then?
You know what? A lot of that is through the working on my master's degree, as well as I'm taking a lot of courses like through Nancy Duarte's Outfit about doing presentations. I'm looking at doing some online courses regarding penetration testing because it's been a long time since I used to do that, but I do kind of miss it, and I do miss keeping my technical chops up to date. But as well, I'm doing things here at home. I've got my office set up here. I've got about 9 different screens in my office, and I'm building up my 3D printer, which will hopefully be online tomorrow. So I'm keeping myself well and truly occupied.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so speaking of skills, I know you're aware of what's been going on around the CISSP certification, and you're kind of you're once intimately involved with that organization. And for those of you who don't know, maybe the very few of you out there, essentially IC Square, the governing body, released a press release saying that the CISSP certification has now achieved the master's level, equivalency in the UK.
In the UK. And it wasn't them that came forward with that. There was a body there that actually came up with this idea, but still. So,
what do you think of that?
I'm not enamored with the idea in any way, shape, or form. The running phrase that happened for a long time was, this is the gold standard. And I would always counter with, no, this is table stakes to show that you can sit at the big boy table or the big girl table, for that matter. But I mean, let's be honest, it is showing that you have a certain level of understanding that you can actually have a conversation about security and you should be taken seriously at some level. Mm-hmm. Equating it with a master's degree frustrates me to no end, and especially on behalf of anybody who's done a master's degree or a PhD or what have you, I can only imagine the cringe that they had when they read that. I'm only 3 courses into mine, and I can't even imagine trying to equate the two. It's like, you know, on one side you have an elephant, on the other side a jar of peanut butter, and yeah, they're not the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. I agree. And it's like, I couldn't imagine. It's like, yeah, sure, I learned a lot, but not that much. I could see why people are, you know, a little bit up in arms about it, but it seems to have died down a little bit now. So it's only been about a week.
It's a bit of a tempest in a teacup. I mean, everything is amplified with all of us working remotely during this time. Mm-hmm. So something like this, yes, it is derp worthy. It is a facepalm in progress, but it's nothing really beyond that. It's just, you know, that's one of those shake it off and move on kind of things.
Yeah. So that'll be the last word that we ever say about that. Thank you very much. Just move on.
So do you have any advice to anyone starting in the industry?
Run. honestly, it is, you know, if you want to be successful at this, this has to be a passion that you have. I've been very fortunate in that, you know, this is a hobby that turned into a job that turned into a career. And I've been very fortunate in that regard. If you're doing it for just the simple going through the motions of something, get a paycheck and move on, it's probably not the right field, because if you really want to truly excel, you have to love what you're doing. And security has now grown to the point where there is no shortage of avenues for you to entertain. And having that curiosity and having that ability to interact with others and have conversations and ask questions will be huge. Excuse me. You don't want to limit yourself in any way, shape, or form. So if you are curious and you have the ability to engage others, those are two huge factors right there. Don't get into it for just the paycheck. There's far more to it, and there's far more layers to this.
Mm-hmm. That would be a pretty massive headache just to do this for a paycheck.
Well, I'm sure there is.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I still work. Well,
yeah, I know, but I mean, it's just, I don't know. I've always been doing, well, I've been in the technology. This is my first kind of job tier, other than being like system network admin. Like, I went from that to pen test. So it's like, I'm still in the IT domain, right? So,
yep.
I've never really had to change career paths in that sense. So it's go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, that's the beauty of this is you don't have to, you know, say, okay, I'm a pen tester and that's the end of it. I'll do this for the rest of my life. Yeah. You can if you want, mm-hmm. but you don't have to limit yourself. You can get into architecture. You can get into SRE. You can get into all different aspects. Policy writing, compliance, all of these things that, you know, various subsets of our industry like to thumb their nose at are perfectly valid pursuits. And they're all pieces of the puzzle that have to be there in order to make sure that we are safe and secure going forward.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, I still love the architecture side of things, like network and all that stuff. And I mean, that helps tremendously. Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, if you're getting into a pen tester role, it's really good to be network able, I find. Mm-hmm. But,
yes, come over to the dark side. Come over to governance.
Not going back. No,
that's where I am right now.
but if you are interested in getting into pen testing in any way, shape, or form, make sure that before you ever open up on a target and start doing your recon, that you have permission. I've seen too many times where young folks are getting into trouble for doing stuff that, you know, if they had asked permission, they would have been fine. Yeah. But since they went and, you know, scanned a box or, you know, heaven forbid, gained access to a device, these are the things that you really can't, you know, hobble yourself with, because it takes, you know, literally decades to build up a, how do I put it? To build up your name brand, to build up, you know, that trust in who you are, and seconds to lose it.
Yeah, agreed. And,
I also had someone actually talk to me about that not too long ago, where they got an email from someone saying, hey, we're scanning and, you know, found that your website has this hole in it, and, you know, this is how you fix it, but if you want to pay me whatever amount, I'll continue to scan and give you, like, a full report type of thing. And it's like, that's shady as heck.
Yeah, good luck. Yep. I've seen that before, too.
I've seen actual companies do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thankfully, they usually are short-lived and they get run into the ground.
Yeah. Nothing too. Don't get in the industry doing that. But again, too, it's kind of like, again, you know, I'm kind of biased, you know, going to conferences, things like that. If you can volunteer, just network, like, and get yourself out there and meet people, even if you're a huge introvert, like probably all of us are, really. In this industry, or I'd say at least 95% are introverts. That's why I'm involved with, you know, the community as much as I am, because I do love it. But like, you know, but the day after ATL SecCon is over, I don't want to talk to anyone. I just want to go home and do nothing. But it's actually, I do have a story. I remember the first time I met you at SecTor about 10 years ago.
Was this when you guys had the hockey pucks?
Yeah, we had the hockey jerseys on. I was working with a certain, you know, compliance company then. And I introduced myself to you.
Mm-hmm.
The first day I arrived. And then I didn't see you again until I think you were leaving and you had a little entourage around you.
You mean a bunch of people that were milling about that I happened to walk past?
Yeah, then. Yeah, probably. you're with all the cool kids. So I was at the table. I said, I waved goodbye to you, but you were walking, but you literally stopped, you turned around, and you came back and personally said goodbye and said, nice to meet you. Like, and I've never forgotten that.
Oh.
I told someone that the other day, and they're like, "That's a fantastic story." And that's what I've done. No, I don't think I've ever told you that either. No.
Well, I actually do remember that now you put it. But for me, that was, the normal way of being.
Yeah. You know, and that's it. Yeah. I take. Yeah. No, and that's it though too. But there are some people out there that aren't like that. But it's that's like I try to be like that too. Like, you know, if I'm like ATLSEC on, if I've somebody introduce themselves to me, and like, you know, I'll make a point again if I see them again, have another talk. It's just, be friendly, be open, just.
You never know when you're going to cross paths with somebody again. So if you're pulling the "don't you know who I think I am" routine, that gets old. Yep. Yeah. Second leaves your mouth.
Exactly. Yeah. And, and again, too, like every opportunity I've had in this industry has been as a direct result of me being involved with ATLSEC or B-Sides. It's like the last probably three position jobs I've had have been direct results of contacts I've made, and they've been jobs that actually haven't been officially posted anywhere. It's just like saying, "Hey, hey, like send me a direct message one time. Hey, we're looking for someone. Here, send your email, HR at whatever." And a week later, I was working for them. So
very nice.
So, it's like just get out there and make the connections. That's what I think.
I've been fortunate that my last two jobs were like that, but I also get a lot of emails where it's like, "Hey, we're looking for a 6-month contract for a DBA. Do you know VB4? What?
Yeah. Or it's like, "What? We're looking for somebody with security clearance to work a 6-month contract in like Tennessee." Like, what? Yeah. No. I say,
"How do you feel about doing a contract in Tuktoyaktuk?"
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, the U.S., it's like, you realize I have security clearance in Canada, not the U.S., and then, crickets. It's like, anyway. That could be a topic of a whole other episode, but we won't go there. Well, anyway, Dave, I want to thank you for finally joining us. I know we've been wanting to get you on for a while now, but you've always been on the road. So.
Yes, and that has now been solved for me, at least until probably 12 to 18 months from now.
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah, so we're all going to enjoy doing the virtual conferences that pop up all over the place now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a dime a dozen right now.
Yeah.
I think it'll filter its way out to, we're going to see some good ones, and we're going to see some that won't survive. But I mean, that's like anything that's going to happen. The thing I like though is with all these virtual conferences is there's far more opportunities for people to attend conferences now that, historically they would have been limited by geography or happenstance.
Yep. No, it's good. I totally agree, and especially people who want to get into presenting normally would never have the opportunity to do it. So it's
exactly
fantastic.
See, what you have to do is you have to bring back B-Sides Cape Breton.
Actually, the funny thing is, last November, we were at a SACA conference in Halifax, and I had numerous people mention the same thing, and I was like, maybe we will. Maybe do it in September. Not doing it now.
No. I'm sure you met a year this September, right?
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, no, people constantly, once in a while, they've brought it up. Off and on, so it's like, we start thinking about it again, and you never know. Maybe in a couple of years, we'll see. I'll let you know. You'll be the first to know. But it has been brought up again, but it's kind of on hold. So we'll see.
We'll make sure there's nice weather.
well, we'll try.
do a little bit of squid fishing.
Yeah. Again, all right. Well, thanks again, Dave. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
All right.
Cool.
Okay. All right.
All right. Be safe.
All right. You too. And thanks again, man.
All right. Cheers.
All right. Have fun. Have fun Friday morning.
Oh, I'll make a valiant attempt. I got to be up at 4 a.m.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's right. You said a Mia. So, yeah.
All right. I'll be thinking about you.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. All right. Thanks,
all right. Man. Cheers. All right,
see ya.
See ya. Bye.